Always true. We are
He says
recording.
if someone set up shot and it like it's really, really good, then he looks to find the source for it.
Right. So you get the, when you think you have something really brilliant, and then you find it somewhere else, it's kind of there are two minds about it. You know, one says, "Oh, I guess I wasn't that original." But the other side, it's very validating
Right.
that okay, that I've said something that some good old said 600 years ago. So that's not a bad thing.
And you found it on your own.
Right. But Catherine, so what I'm saying at the end is actually Rabbi Sacks says the same thing. But I did it, I
You
realized
did
it.
it before that.
So before I saw it, I mean, I assume Rabbi Sacks said it before I did because
Because that would be interesting.
he had, right, he had an entire
Unfortunately.
year's worth of essays written for this coming year. Okay, we're going to talk about Parshat Yitro. And the first Rashi on the Parsha says that Yitro had seven names. Yitro, source one, Sheva Shemot Nikru Lo. He had seven names. It's called Reuel, different places in the Torah and in Tanakh. Reuel, Yeter, Yitro, Chovev, Chever, Keni, and Putiel. And why was he called Yeter? Because the reason for it is Hashem She Yeter Parsha Achapa Torah, Atat Tzaveh. Because he added an extra parsha in the Torah. Atat. Where does that come from? It's worth saying that when it says Yeter Parsha Achapa Torah, where he added an extra parsha, or he was the cause for an extra parsha in the Torah, he's not talking about the Sedra, about Parsha Yitro. Because the division into parshiyot is not something that's inherent in the Torah. It's much later, and the names of the parshas have really no religious significance. The extra parsha is not Parshat Yisro, the whole thing. It's simply referring to one paragraph in the parsha.
Oh.
That's why Rashi says that. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying make that up. That the parsha the Parsha he added is called Vatatachazet. It's a halachic law that was said in the name of Yitro, the laws of establishing a Beit Din. Okay, he gets a chapter in the Shulchan Aruch, as it were, that's written that was brought down in his name. That's what it means Yeter Parsha Achapa Torah. And there, here's what the here's the story. This is after he's come to Bnei Israel, they're camped around Har Sinai. And it was the day after. Moshe sat and judged the people. The people were standing next to Moshe in line from morning to night, from morning till evening. Right? And that's why we have the minhag in Israel of standing in line for hours and hours today, and Mamad Har Sinai. And Moshe's father-in-law, Yitro, saw everything that he was doing to the people. What are you doing to all these people? Why are you sitting here by yourself? And everybody's standing in line from morning to night. No, so Moshe says to his father-in-law, because people are all coming to ask questions of God. Because they have anything going on, they'll come to me, and I will judge between them. And I will tell them God's laws and rules. So Yitro tells him, what you're doing is not good. Atashma b'koldi. So now, kid, listen to me. Right, it's a nice relationship with your in-laws, right? They can give you advice. Yes, I'll give you advice. And God be with you. Yeah, because you will be act as God's representative for the people. And you're the one who's going to talk to God. Fine. And you'll tell them all the laws. You're going to get the Torah. That's great. You'll tell them what they're supposed to do, the way they're supposed to go, the things they're supposed to do. And this is the parsha that they're talking about that Yitro added to the Torah. That's what Rashi said, the parsha. You need to look from all the people. Anshe Chayil, men of valor, Yir Elokim, pure God, Anshe Emet, people who are truthful, Soni Betzo, hate bribery. And you need to establish this system of courts over 1,150 tent. End up with, 12% of the people working for the government, which by today's numbers, that's pretty small. But you need to appoint these lower courts. You can't do this all yourself. And they'll judge the people under normal circumstances at all times. And any big thing, any hard matter, they'll come to bring to you. And they'll, these lower courts will judge the smaller matters. And things will be easier for you, and they'll bear some of the burden with you. That was Yitro's advice. If you do these things, and God tells you this, I'm not telling you to go against God's word, then you'll survive. And the people will come in peace. You will cause peace to the people. You can't do it yourself. You need to establish a system of courts. And Moshe listened and did what he said. That is the Parsha Achat B'Torah that was said in the name of Yitro. And Rashi points out that this whole story is out of chronological sequence. And when it says
Yanni, can I just ask you one quick question before you go into that? When it says V'naso Otcha, does that mean that they actually carried him? They're carrying you?
They will carry the burden of your responsibilities with you.
Right, but Vinaso is to carry, right?
Yes, but it's itcha, with you, not otcha.
Okay, they're carrying
with you. They're carrying Moshe. They are carrying with Moshe.
They carry the law with you.
Right, carrying right.
So they're sharing the burden, in other words.
Right, but Kel Melecha, they will make life easier for you because you can't do this yourself. Not fair to you, not fair to people. You need to have other judges. And this whole thing happens. Vahim Acharat doesn't mean the day after Yitro came, the story beginning where he comes and they all have a feast. It means at a later point. When was it? It was Motzei Yom Kippurim Haya. It was after Yom Kippur. So what happens? This week's Parsha starts out at the beginning of Sivan, 6th of Sivan, Mamon Har Sinai. Moshe goes up 40 days later. It's Shiva, day before Shivas Batamuz. He comes down with the first set of Luchot, of the tablets. Those get broken. He negotiates with Hashem for another 40 days till Elul to forgive him for the golden calf. And then 4 days later, it's Yom Kippur. And that's when he comes down with the second Luchot. And that's when we really can say we got the Torah. That's when he comes down and starts teaching the people what the Torah says. So it's Motzei Yom Kippurim Haya. This was that the Yom Macharat is talking about was actually 120 days, 4 months after Mamon Har Sinai, after Yom Kippur. So even though the story comes in the Parsha before Mamon Har Sinai, it's coming much later, the actual occurred actually much later. Kach Shini B'Sifri, this is what we see in the Sifri, in the Halakha Midrash. Mahu Mimacharat, what does he mean by Mamacharat, the day after? Mamacharat Rito Minahar, the day after he came down from the mountain the last time. And you have to say that. It's got to be after that first Yom Kippur. Before that, there wasn't a law to give them at that point. It has to be after Matan Torah. So even the Ramban, who usually very strongly wants to keep things chronological in order, agrees that, no, this story clearly happens afterwards. Verse 4, the Ramban, HaKavarabar L'Brayta Zu. And what this Brayta here means, it says after Yom Kippur, Umar Shayyazeh Achar Yom Kippurim. Doesn't necessarily mean the day after Yom Kippur, but some point afterwards, Ki Ein Lahem Panui L'Mishpat M'Yom Bo'am L'Har Sinai Ad Achar Yom Kippurim Shal Shana HaRishana Zu. Because there was no point where they were in a position to get that kind of judgment from the time they came to Har Sinai until after that Yom Kippur where Moshe comes down with the second Luchot. That's important, because most of the laws in the Torah are apodictic, right? Everyone knows that word means.
It's Greek to me, man.
It probably is Greek. Where's my, there we go. Literally means beyond dispute. So if you've ever read David Weiss Livni, likes to talk about the halachas being either with a reason or apodictic, means they're simply given without any reason or justification. There's no story behind them. It says, keep Shabbos, don't steal. Only some story, only some laws have a whole narrative behind them. So we have this exception here, where the story of the halachas of establishing a Beit Din are given in the context of the story of Yitro telling Moshe, here's what you need to do. You're a brilliant son-in-law, but you're not getting this right. Most halachos are, in the Torah are not with the narrative behind them. And we have them, the narrative there is usually there to highlight the roles of certain individuals. A couple of examples, Pesach Sheni. Right, where it says, Vahina Shemesha Hayut Meim Lenefesh Adam, it's time to do Pesach, second year, and some of the people are Tmeim, and they can't bring the Pesach, Lo Yechua, so the Pesach Bim Ahu couldn't bring carbon Pesach. Like a ruler, they Moshe, they Aaron, by Yamahua. So they come in front of Moshe and Aaron, and they complain, by Yamruan, Hashem Ahema, a love, and they say to him, Anachu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, we are Tmeim, we can't bring a carbon. Lama Nigara, why should we be excluded? We can't bring this carbon Pesach. It's a symbol of our community, token Israel among everybody else. So go wait here and let me see what God says. And then you get the halachas of Pesach Sheni, as opposed to simply being given to as people listening to the Torah, as here's a halacha of Pesach, here's Pesach Sheni, etc. I'm sure a lot of the laws had stories behind them, why they came up, why it was necessary to give them at given times, but we only have a limited number of stories about halacha. As Rashi says, Ru'uya hayta parsha zu, that this parsha about Pesach Sheni should have been said, Lemor al-Dei Moshe, Kishar kol Torah kula. That should have been just one of those laws, Moshe should have said that law, just like the rest of the Torah, let's say Zachu Oto, but they had the merit to Toyamar Ali they had. Since they didn't take the excuse of, oh well, I can't bring my Pesach, I'll stay home for Pesach, makes life easier than going away. No, they actually went up and said, no, we want to be part of this mitzvah. They had the zakut, they had the merit of being of having this law listed in their name, Shemagal Galin Zachut Ayde Zakai. That we bring merit, we give a reward to those who deserve it. Similarly, Benot Slavchad. Same thing, the whole story of Benot Slavchad, who wanted to have a portion in Eretz Israel, that otherwise their father's portion would have been lost. And similarly, we bring that story of them telling Moshe, Lama Nigara, why are we going to be excluded? And so there, and then Hashem tells Moshe, you need to tell to Israel. So in the Torah, the story is told as an introduction to the laws of inheritance. And Ru'uya hayta parsha zu, Rashi says similarly about the Tzlavcha, that this parsha should have been said, L'chateva de Moshe, should have been written just the way the rest of the Torah was, as a simple apodictic, here's a law, as written by Moshe, as a Zachu b'not Tzlavchad, but b'not Tzlavchad merited, Mi'chteva yadan. And it was written, literally means by them. Not that they wrote the Torah, but their story was incorporated into the halacha. So here we have a halacha about the courts, and it's said in the name of Yitro. We in fact name him Yitro because he has a Yeter Parsha, he has his own Parsha there introducing it. And in fact, it's so important that we got to read about it before we get the Torah, read about getting the Torah, even though it takes place afterwards. So the question is why? The Or HaChaim says we need the story because we know that Jews are smart. Jews are really smart. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Okay, this is a lovely chart here. This is published by Scott Alexander, who is also really smart. His real name is that's a pseudonym, but he has a blog about psychiatry and medicine and lots of biology of the brain and things like that. And he has this chart here. This is a chart of Nobel prizes per million people. These are countries, and these are Israeli Ashkenazi Jews. So specifically Ashkenazi, this is US Ashkenazi Jews, okay? So Jews have more Nobels per person than any nation. He gives that example of it.
The chart is of just Jews? This is comparing Jews in each country?
No, that's total, this is Jews in the U.S., 6 per million Jews in the U.S. have won Nobel Prizes, 3 Jews per population in Israel, per total million people in Israel have won Nobel Prizes, and this is total number of people in Norway.
That's the total number of people in Norway?
Right, that's the number of people, number of Nobel Prizes per million people.
So you're saying as a nation, our percent of winning Nobel Prizes is bigger than any other country in the world.
Right. In other words, if you take the entire population of the U.S., it's about 0.3 per million. If you take the Jews in the U.S., it's about 5.5 per million.
That's interesting.
So 15 times more than you'd expect just on a basis of numbers of population alone. So Alexander's he's an atheist. He's a rationalist. He likes to think this is all due to genetic causes. Right, there's genetic selection, and he's got a wonderful paper that's by Cochrane, Harding, and Harpending. You can look at the link over here on the website that Jews select for smart sons-in-law, I guess daughters-in-law too, and that we end up being heterozygous for all these genetic diseases that are all have to do with neurons, and somehow they are related to neural plasticity that makes them smart. But if you're homozygous, you end up with Tay-Sachs disease. It's almost a eugenic argument. I don't like that. But isn't a point that Jews are pretty smart? This graph is unarguable, but I think that the idea that intelligence is genetically determined is ethically abhorrent and scientifically it's wrong. And I think he's missing the point entirely. I think the idea of a Yiddish cup is culturally created, right? We create smartness by learning Torah. We raise our kids to learn, to think, to question. That's what our brains are for. And the fact that nuclear physics, as an old joke, that the atom bomb was a Hungarian Jewish high school science project. Like everyone there came from the same. Everyone in the Manhattan.
There were a lot of Jews working on the Manhattan Project.
And all the major physicists came from the same high school in Hungary.
Danny.
Yeah.
One of my schoolmates from Hebrew University is a refugee to Israel from Hungary. She came as a little girl. And she's related to one of those physicists.
Oh, yeah?
Like a close relative, but a relative.
Is she really smart?
She's very smart and very sweet.
Okay. And this is what the Torah tells us, that it's, you know, that your chokhmah is not because of the Torah. This is the,
can I say something?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, when you're saying Nobel Prize, it's not just like intellect, like IQ, but it's more than that. It's related to Talmud Torah, I think. It's also about part of being, someone could be really smart, but they're not motivated enough to put in the effort, or they don't care enough about society to do things that are good for society. I think our culture, it's not just being intelligent like IQ, but it's also just the motivation and the ability to, okay, this Gemara is hard, but I'm going to keep going through until I understand it. I'm going to keep pushing and I'm not going to stop learning. And I'm going to create a culture of learning. And also, like, I want to do this, and not just for me, but for my community. That whole thing is what makes Nobel Prize winners, kind of.
Okay.
So anyways, I just think that when you said that, that shows that we're not just genetically smart, but it's a cultural thing. So anyways, just a thought.
That's important, right? It's got to be part of the learning Torah part of it. I mean, and that's kind of where we're going with this. And this is what's, let me move on to the Moshe's speech at the end of his life. And Bevarim says, "Re'eli ma'tirchem u'kimish batim. Look, I have taught you all these laws, Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai, as God commanded me. So came a kev ha'aretz, Asher Atem b'ayim shamu l'rishta, to do these things in the land that you're going to. U'shmartem v'asitem. And you'd be careful and do all these things. Ki hi chokhmatchem u'biyadchem l'ayamim. This is the cause of your wisdom and of your intelligence in the eyes of the nations. Asher yishmu'un kol chukim ha'ela, there will hear all these laws. V'amru rak am chacham v'navon. This must be a wise and intelligent, analytical, discerning nation. And Goy Gadol is this great nation. So, what does that have to do with Yitro? So this is the Or HaChaim, Chaim Ben Attar, Ibn Attar, or Ben Attar. Anyone remember Pat Ben Attar?
Yeah, the jazz guy.
So Benatar, I would look this up because Chaim Benatar was the Orach Chaim in 16th century Morocco. Evidently, Pat Benatar's, that was her married name, her husband's descended or somehow related in there. But the Orach Chaim is saying that's what the story of Yitro is coming to tell us. Before Ma'an Torah, that goyim are smart too. Don't feel so proud about about how smart you are, about the number of Nobel Prizes. It's nothing to do with your genetics. And it's famous Midrash in Eicha Rabbah, Miomar lecha adam yesh chokhma b'goyim, ta'amin. If someone tells you there is wisdom among the nations, believe it, it's true. Yesh Torah b'goyim, something they can learn Torah there, word of God, alta means that's not the case. Torah just comes from Hashem. So here's the Orach Chaim, clearly important Orach Chaim. For iti latet lev, and I wanted to pay attention, I want to make note. Ech zacha Yitro. Why did Yitro merit? Shetichatev al yado parshazu. That he got to have this whole section of Torah said in his name. That we have this narrative associated with these laws of establishing courts. Why? What was his zachu? What was the merit there? What was so special? Hinemet. And while it is true, who kibed Moshe Eved Hashem, that he came and gave honor, he had an important position of authority in Midian. He left, he came to Moshe. That's a good thing. That's wonderful. And therefore Hashem rewards him by giving him honor. But Hashem could have given him some other honor than this particular thing. Lobaderach says something other than giving a this sort of associated with a law in the Torah. She yirachas v'shalom kepachot yidiya ba'am Hashem. Because it looks like it's telling us that Moshe, all the Jews, were getting something wrong. Right? They set up this system of course, that basically consisted of Moshe by himself, and they needed a foreigner to come in and tell him, you're doing this all wrong. And then Hashem says, you know, he's right. You're doing all this all wrong. It looks like an insult to the Jews at the time. Until this priest of Avodah Zarah comes, he's going to teach them something. So Orach Chaim is bothered by this. Miran appears to me. The reason for this, Hashem et Bnei Israel, because Hashem is trying to teach something to Bnei Israel here. Adarahu, in that generation, b'chol dor b'dor, in every single generation. Because you need to know, ki yesh b'umot gedolim b'havanav haskala, because there are people in other nations who are wise, who are smart, who have good ideas, who have something to teach you and you can learn from them. And you should go out and learn from the fact that Yitro came and his wisdom, batzato, in his advice, v'ofen sider b'nei adam, and the way he understood how to arrange people and how to organize society, asher bachar yesh b'umot makirim devarim musharim, that you should know, v'ofen sider b'nei adam asher bachar, the way he said how you should choose the judges, that there are among the nations people who know good things, that people can teach you something. But the intention here, you should realize that Hashem didn't choose Israel, because they're so smart. And they understand things more because from other nations. And this is the proof of that. Haskalat Yitro. Before giving the Torah, don't start, well, Hashem gave us the Torah, we're so special because we're so smart. No, here is Yitro comes in with this good advice. Halamaratas, you can learn, Hilo merov chokmat Yisrael v'askalatam, that wasn't because of Israel's wisdom and their intelligence, b'char Hashem b'hem, they were chosen. Elach kesed elyon, with God's grace, v'lavat avot, and because of the merit of the avot, Hashem gave us the Torah. And this certainly literally means it's sweet to the palate. That this makes sense. L'manda Amar is for someone who says Yitro kodem matan Torah ba, that Yitro came before Man Torah. Because there's a machlok, when did Yitro come? Was it before Mount Torah? The story came afterwards. The story of the judges came after Mount Torah. But was he there before or was he afterwards? There's discussion in Rashi. It makes sense. If he came beforehand, he nachatem Hashem al zekurim Mount Torah, because that would indicate that Hashem allowed Yitro to come beforehand. So that told Bnei Yisrael of that generation that here's this wise person coming. There are people who are smarter than you out there in the nations. Still, we were here, we got the Torah. We should certainly praise Hashem for his grace in giving us the Torah. That is what makes us chachamim. And gamlaman da amar achaman Torah, and even if you say that he came afterwards, then it wasn't necessarily a lesson to Bnei Israel about giving the Torah, but it's a lesson to us. Yesh tam b'mashe sider b'yatok kodem laharot. Yesh tam b'mashe sider b'yatok kodem. Then we have to look at it as why is the story written before Mount Torah? Is to harot, to show us, like Havana and his carrot, show us what we said mentioned before, that the intention is, because if not for that, we don't know why it would be written before Mount Torah. Why is it written out of place? The answer is that at least for us as the readers of Torah, we need to realize that Yitro gave advice that nobody else in Bnei Yisrael thought of before Mount Torah. We're not that smart. You need to have that humility. I mean, you are that smart. But you still can learn from other people. That's what he knows about. Because it's more than statements about Jews as a whole. It's a statement about every single person. That we need to have the humility to realize that none of us knows everything. I mean, I do know everything. At least my kids should know that. And I'm never but.
Yep. I was thinking that when you were saying that.
Okay, so with certain exceptions, right? So, okay. But is that the point here is that this is even Moshe Rabbeinu can learn from someone else. And he does that with his, you know, Moshe is Anav Mikol Adam, that's humility. That's what he said. No, Moshe listens. He does exactly what he says. He doesn't try to defend himself. Okay, no, I got to do it this way because this is the right thing. No, okay, let me think about it. And I will quote Friedrich Hayek, the economist, to talk about the problem of knowledge. That's the fact that nobody knows everything. The knowledge of the circumstances of which we must make use, never exists in concentrated, integrated form. In order to make decisions about society, nobody has all the information. Guaranteed. That's why he, as an economist, is very opposed to centralized economies. Because there isn't anyone who can figure out what to do. It's solely in dispersed bits of incomplete and frequently contradictory knowledge, which all the separate individuals possess. And we have to listen to everybody, even people aren't as smart as us, to get to make any kind of decision. And that's why the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Oyomer, Rabbi Yossi would say, Al tihi dan yechidi, never judge alone, even in Moshe Rabbeinu. She'en dan yechidi ela achad. It's the only one who can judge alone is the one, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Only Hashem has the knowledge to be able to do that. And the Rambam explains that HaTorah hetira le'ish mumcheh l'rabim l'don yachidi, that yes, the Torah says that someone who is a mumcheh, an expert, can judge alone as a single person. It's halachically acceptable, the way they explain in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Well, zeh devar Torah, but that's the way the technical letter, that's the letter of the law. Is here hena, b'mena k'tzat al tzad musar. But this is a hint on the side of, this is advice, this is a musar, a moral argument. Well, tzad yisr, it's not that you're forbidden to be dan yachidi, but it's a bad idea. No matter how expert you are, even if you're a mumcha, you don't know enough to be dan yachidi, you have to listen to others. So I'm going to go Rabbi Foreman. We're going to look for words over here, okay? And this is why I said that Rabbi Sachs said the same thing, but I realized this without looking at Rabbi Sachs before him. When Yitro tells Moshe, he's looking at the people standing in line all day, he says, Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. The expression Lo tov occurs only twice in the whole Torah. The first time it appears, this is the second time. Lo tov
hadavar. With Adam.
What?
With Adam.
That's right.
That's
exactly right. So you got it, right? That's the pasuk in Bereshit. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, God says, Lo tov hayot adam levado. It is not good. Same lo tov, same expression that a person should be alone. I said lo ezi karekdo. He needs help. He needs to help me. That was true by Adam. It was true by Moshe. It's true by all of us. That we none of us know enough to not listen to others. And that's the lesson of the extra parsha that Yitro wrote, that it was called the Yitro Parsha Achapatara. That he got this extra parsha because he's the one who taught Bnei Israel that you need to listen to others. Even foreigners, even outsiders, everyone has something to add. And I will
leave it there.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Danny.